good afternoon and welcome to 2018. I was not here last Saturday. Where was I last Saturday? Oh, family Christmas. That's right. So we ran Eva Shockey last Saturday. Actually, going to get to talk to Eva Shockey a little bit this week. I'll be headed to Indianapolis. If it's not cold enough around here, I've got to find some place colder to go. But, I hope you enjoyed the show. But yeah, first live show of 2018. And I feel it loose ends. It's been 3 weeks, I guess, with the station being closed and all that, I've been here, but thank you for tuning in. It is, you're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer in Greenville. My name is Roger Metz. If you don't know that by now, if you're just tuning in and new, welcome to the show. It's, gonna be a little bit of everything today. Cold. I don't remember. I think 2011, I think was the last time I remember being this cold. I remember one time as a kid, it got really, really, really cold and the pond in Chester froze over like 3 inches thick. I mean, you could walk out on it and it, you know, no spider cracking, no nothing. But yeah, it's been a long time. You know, the difference between like 2011 and 2017 for me. In 2011, you'd have seen a lot of pictures of me out duck hunting in 15 degree weather. It kind of crossed my mind this year, but it never was a serious, I never seriously contemplated going duck hunting this year. And just too cold. I'm getting that way about deer hunting too. If it's too cold deer hunting, I'm not going to get up and go there either. I really don't like morning hunting anymore. Old age stinks. But anyway, I hope you had a Merry Christmas. I hope you've had the first 6 days of January 2018 have been good to you. I hope you're looking forward to a great year. I know we're looking for a good one here on the show. A lot of things coming up. A lot of travel involved this year. It's going to be a good year. I'm excited. A lot of new things we're going to do here. Some monthly segments are going to be ongoing. Branching into some areas that I haven't covered before in the outdoors. I mean, it's just something that's been in the back of my head, but I've never gotten around to it. I'm going to make do this year. That's just some of the ones for the show. On the personal side, my New Year's resolutions have been put off for a week because of the cold weather. I was going to start walking every day, but, sorry, I don't put on enough clothes to go walking when it's 15 degrees outside or 10 degrees in the morning or whatever. I am going to read a book a month is my goal. I got to get started on that. I'm going to put the phone down. I'm going to put the computer down. I'm going to read some more. I used to love reading. I've got 7 or 8 books sitting on the shelf at home a couple of them are still in plastic. I haven't even opened them up. And I'm going to read some this year. I hope you will too. I hope you got some good ones. I know there was, I may bring it up next week, but 1 year I did a New Year's resolution for the outdoorsman, and it has things like, you know, take the hunter safety course again. I took the hunter safety course in 1989. You know, I can use a brush up. We all get lax, and one of those things that we ought to do every so often, but I'll bring that list up back next week if I have time. Of course, next week's going to be a busy week too. If you haven't heard, you know, there was an FLW Costa Series fishing tournament out of Lake Okeechobee that started off Thursday and was supposed to run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday after the first day of competition, a boater and his co-angler failed to check in for weigh-in. They subsequently found their truck and trailer at a boat ramp, initiated a search. They found the boater. Let me see if I can get this right now, because I've talked to a couple of people just to make sure I got. Bill Kasaya was the boater. They found him Thursday night about 11:30 on his boat. They have still not found the co-angler, Nick Kaler, Nick from Apopka, Florida. Searching still for him. Bill is in serious condition at the hospital with hypothermia. Temperatures down in Florida have been down in the 30s, just like it's been in the teens here. The winds down there have been brutal. I talked to Iris Robinson, Marty Robinson's wife, this morning after a basketball game, and we talked a little bit. And then I talked to Joey Sabaga, who is a coastal angler. In fact, lives right across the street from Anthony Gagliardi down there in Prosperity, South Carolina. And I talked to both of them and got the same, pretty much the same story from each of them. So evidently what happened is they, launched out of the Kissimmee, you know, came out of the Kissimmee River and for some reason or another decided to go across open water, Lake Okeechobee, and they said it was bad. Said most everybody that fishes Okeechobee, when you come down that way, you run around the perimeter canal to get to wherever you're going on the lake, whether it be South Bay or wherever else. And nobody, very rarely do you venture out across big water when the wind's up. For some reason or another, they were about 8 to 10 miles out into the lake. They speared a wave, threw the co-angler off the boat. When Bill tried to restart the motor to go after the co-angler, the motor would not crank. He tried to get the trolling motor running, but it knocked him off the waves knocked him off the boat. He got back in the boat, tied himself to the trolling motor cord to stay on the boat. And that was at 7:30 Thursday morning. They found him at 11:30 Thursday night. So what's that? 17 hours or so? No, 16 hours. In that weather. And there's a video out there of the boat, you know, being up against the rocks and all, and the waves and all. So you can see how bad it was. Joey said it was bad. He said, but you know, that's Okeechobee, and very few people rarely opt to go across the big water. So anyway, that's the story. Motor wouldn't crank, tried to get back to him with the trolling motor, kept getting knocked off the boat because the waves, you know, when your boat's not under power, you're pretty much at the mercy of the wind and the waves. And he ended up in the drink, got back on the boat, tied himself to the boat. They found him 7:30. They still have not found Nick Kaler. So, and Nick's, you know, from the pictures that you see, he's probably got a 7 or 8 year old daughter, wife. So I'm sure that family could use our thoughts and prayers. And at this point, you know, you're talking, gosh, going on 3 days out. But he did have, I talked to Joey. They got pictures of him at launch. He did have a zip up life jacket on, not an inflatable. So that wasn't a problem unless it just got ripped off when he got thrown out of the boat. I mean, if you're going 50, 60 miles an hour and hit that water, it's like hitting a concrete wall. So anyway, that's, kind of a sad note to start the show off on. But, you know, that is, you don't often think about fishing as a dangerous sport, but you know, you do have to deal with the weather. And, wow, just tough. Makes you think a lot about a lot of things and hug your wife and kids every once in a while, a little more often. And we're not going to dwell on that. The outcome of that has already been decided. We'll just wait for the answers. But, we did have the striped bass challenge in town there and down at Anderson and Green Pond Landing. And one of their goals was to raise by donations meals for, Golden Harvest Food Bank. Bill Carson from Hummingbird posted a picture, said teams that fished that tournament raised about 50,000 meals. Now I don't know how many pounds that equates into, but about 50,000 meals those anglers brought to the captain's meeting last night. And our own Travelers Rest Devil Dogs say they had a competition on the high school side, and the Devil Dogs won, for most pounds donated on the high school fishing side. So congratulations to those. It's a great cause. We've had Golden Harvest here on the show in conjunction with the Striped Bass Challenge, and a good weekend for them and all. But hey, you want to hear something funny? Don't make fun of the South when it snows. It's rare. Sort of like a northern school winning a football national championship. All right, hang on through the break. I got a few more things. The bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Mike Abel about the upcoming Shallow Water Expo. turn it up. It goes on for a while like this. Good song. Autograph. Somewhere back in the late 80s, somewhere like that. You know, it's today was Youth Hunting Day in South Carolina. There's been a lot of debate about, you know, it's to me, having kids that hunt or any day can be Youth Day. And I encourage anybody that hunts to take a youth anytime they can. But there's a day designated for youth hunting. That's today. And put an idea in your head. What if we move that day to the beginning of the season? You know, the idea, opportunity is what we're giving by having a youth day, an opportunity to go hunting, an opportunity, but that the opportunity to harvest a game is so much greater at the beginning of the season than it is in the dead of January when it's 13 degrees in the morning. And a kid has a hard time sitting still when it's 13 degrees in the tree stand. So we're going to, there's some debate starting up here about trying to move that early in the season. It'd be interesting to see where that goes. Look, December was a hectic month around here, and I did not get around to giving away some things. So let me give you the telephone number here for the station. It's 877-235-9405. Cause I've got three giveaways today that I didn't get back to, did not get to back in December. So seeing that we're just talked about hunting, I have a Hunter Safety Systems Ultralight Black Ops Harness and a Hunter Safety System Lifeline. It's about $140. It's a large XL in size. If you want a Hunter Safety Systems Light Black Ops Harness and safety line, 877-235-9405. First caller gets it. They're a great thing. You know, Jerry Widener from Hunter Safety Systems comes on the show every week, every year, and talks about Hunter Safety Systems. So if you want a safety, a harness, ultralight black ops, and a lifeline, 877-235-9405 and insures. I've got a fishing rod later on, and I've got some tickets to zip lines later on too. So hope you'll call in and take advantage of those. Department of Natural Resources has, as they did in prior years, released 16 tagged coyotes to incentivize hunters shooting more coyotes. You know, it's kind of a, there again, there's some people say, look, if you can capture 16 tagged coyotes, why turn them loose again? But, you know, hey, it is what it is. It's simply an incentive for people to shoot more coyotes. What they're putting them out there for is you can win a lifetime hunting license for killing a tagged coyote. So it reads, for the second year in a row, the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources has tagged and released 16 coyotes. Four coyotes have been placed in each game zone. That's game zone one at mountains, two in the, up here in the upstate, three and four along the coast. And the incentive program is created by a budget proviso, 4710, passed by the South Carolina General Assembly in 16 and 17. It directs DNR to develop and implement a coyote tagging and reward program. And this is what we have. So anyone who kills one of the tagged coyotes, saves the carcass for verification, and contacts DNR will receive a complimentary lifetime hunting license. The license may be issued to a designee of the hunter's choice, winner's choice. So that's a pretty good thing. You know, if you win it and you want to give it to somebody else, you can. So far, eight of the 16 tagged coyotes from last year have been reported so far. So there's potentially 24 tagged coyotes out there with 24 lifetime licenses that you can get. So, again, everything is controversial these days. I think it's social media. It's just driven that way. But anyway, good program. We each need, and really, if you really want to do your part for coyotes, I mean, for the deer population, take out coyotes, you really need to be hammering coyotes April, May, and June. Coyotes usually pup in late March to April. Fawns start dropping April, May. So you need to protect those fawns as much as you can, and coyote hunting really needs to be a priority. If you don't have the time and capability to trap, you need to be out there hunting them April and May. So, and congratulations. I didn't pick up the name of the winner. I'll contact him after the show, and figure out a way to get that to him. But congratulations. Safety is paramount on the show, and Walter Kivett. Congratulations, Walter. I'll be getting a hold of you later on this afternoon, and we'll figure out a way to get that to you, whether it's meeting you somewhere or putting it here at the station. You can run back here and get it. From the loony left coast, you know, it just never amazes me what those people out there do to themselves. New gun restrictions are coming to California in 2018. California's more than 6 million gun owners are going to see new restrictions 2018 stemming from sweeping regulations lawmakers and voters have approved over the past 2 years. Now, there are court challenges to a lot of this stuff, contradictions in the laws. So everybody's kind of like, whoa, what is exactly, what are the laws exactly? But here's what the gist of each law is. And, you know, they say as California goes, so does the rest of the country. Can you still own an assault rifle? Yes, but you can't buy them anymore. And you have to register the ones you have. In 2016, California's already tough gun laws got tougher when lawmakers passed a bill that sought to ban the sale of guns with so-called bullet buttons. You know what that bullet button is? It's the thing that drops the magazine. It's a bullet button. That gun control activists said circumvented a law banning assault weapons. So California now defines an assault weapon as any semi-automatic centerfire rifle or semi-automatic pistol that lacks a fixed magazine and has one of a number of features that includes a protruding pistol grip or folding or telescoping stock. If you already owned one of these guns, you can keep it, but you got to register it. However, the registration deadline has been extended to June 30th, 2018. Number two, can I own a detachable magazine holding more than 10 rounds? Yes, for now. Californians who own detachable magazines, if capable of holding more than 10 rounds of ammunition, were supposed to get rid of them by this past July or face criminal penalties. But gun rights groups challenged the ban. A judge issued an injunction, and we're still in the middle of that. Two pending cases before the U.S. Ninth Circus Court of Appeals. Can I buy ammunition online or from a catalog? Yes, but you can't ship it to your home after January the 1st. You can still buy it online from a catalog, but now you have to ship ammunition to a licensed vendor who can charge you a processing fee. This isn't a big change for people in Sacramento. Their city, along with a few others around California, already have ordinances prohibiting direct mail of ammunition. Does that direct mail ban apply to reloading supplies? No. Gosh. Well, they just pick away at it, don't they? Well, I have to undergo a background check to buy ammunition. Not in 2018, but starting in January 1st of 2019, you will have to go through a licensed dealer and a background check to buy ammunition in California. Will I have to buy a special ammunition permit under the new background check rules? Probably not. For now, anyway. It does provide for a fee of $50 for a 4-year permit, but Jerry Brown has overridden that provision at the time. Can I drive in ammunition I bought out of state? No. On January 1st, it is illegal to import into California ammunition purchased in another state. The legislature passed a bill in 2016 that would have allowed hunters to bring in up to 550 rounds from out of state without taking it to a dealer, but Proposition 63 overrode that, according to the Department of Justice. Will there be a limit on how much ammo I can buy? No, not yet. Man. Just be vigilant, people. You know, you say, this is South Carolina, this is the South, we're not worried about this sort of stuff. Well, let me tell you what. There's an influx of people coming in here that aren't South Carolinians, and a lot of them don't think like we do. So just be vigilant. That sort of stuff happens here. Eventually, it'll come up. Let's see. 4 minutes. Gosh, there's so much stuff I need to get through here. Okay, let's do this. The Bassmaster and FLW tour rosters are out. On the Bassmaster side, we're down to 4 in South Carolina. Casey Ashley will be fishing the 2018 Elite Series, along with Casey from Donald, South Carolina, along with Andy Montgomery out of Blacksburg, South Carolina, Marty Robinson from Lyman, and Jason Williams from Wagner, South Carolina. So we're 4 four guys on the Elite Series. We're missing Britt Myers. He did not requalify for the Elite Series this year. And, you know, I think he's okay with that, because if you look at the, FLW Tour roster, you got Todd Utton from Lake Wylie, Brandon Cobb from Greenwood, Anthony Gagliardi from Prosperity, Nick Ganey from Charleston, Brian Latimer from Belton, and Britt Myers from Clover, South Carolina shows up on the list. So, Britt went from the Elites to the FLW Tour this year. They have the qualifications on the Elite Series is really strange. There's 111 fish in the Elites now. Yeah. And there's 187 on the FLW side. Along with Timmy Tompkins from Myrtle Beach, Craig Rosimus from Simpsonville, South Carolina, and making the jump, he's been on the show before, is Andy Wicker from Pomeria, South Carolina. Andy won the ABA tournament on Lake Hartwell, I believe back in 15, and he fished the Race Scott Championship in 16. He has been, Andy's a great fisherman. Andy made the jump to the FLW circuit. So we've got four on the Elite side, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, and nine on the FLW side from South Carolina. Then they start up, Bass starts, Lake Martin in February. I think the FLW kicks off their season at Lake Okeechobee in like 2 weeks. To the end of January, I believe, is when they're starting. So, yeah, it's hard to get away from fishing in South Carolina. It's just all around you, except now when the ice is, you know, there's ice on the water. But which reminds me, it was really cool down along the Broad River duck hunting one day, and it was iced over. There's little sloughs along the river, and the sun was shining on part of it, and the rest of it was in the shadows. And this wood duck comes in to land, hits the ice, and knocks himself out right in front of me. Kid you not. Knocks himself out. I mean, I'm standing there looking at this duck like, well, after a few minutes, he gets up, starts wobbling around. I mean, it was hilarious. I couldn't have shot the poor guy if I'd have tried. I was rolling in the snow. I mean, anyway, hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Mike Abel from Hadrill's about the Shallow Water Expo coming back. Saturday engineers should not make the host laugh right before they come out of a break. Oh, me. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We took care of the hunters last segment. Now we're going to make a fisherman happy. If you like bait casting rods, I've got a 13 fishing. It's a 7-1 medium fast, fate black. It's not a black rod. It's one of them bright green ones. It's a 7-1. It's yours. First caller gets it. It's a $100 rod. Again, a 13 fishing, bright green bait casting rod, 7-1 medium fast action, 10-17 pounds, quarter to 5/8. And with that, 877-235-9405. Now, we got Mr. Mike Abel on from all the way from cold and chilly and white Charleston. Michael, how are you doing, buddy?
It's cold. I'm doing great. How about you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, and all the folks down there at Hadrill's Point. Just a great store to go in when you're in Charleston. If nothing else, just to go in and hang out a little bit.
Yeah, well, you can come in and get warm, that's for sure. I mean, we got a lot of new things coming for the year, so we're very excited. But, yeah, a lot of new changes, new additions. So, yeah, come check us out for sure.
How are things down there? I mean, y'all had, 6 or 7 inches of snow and then a bunch of ice, too?
We did, yeah. I mean, it's still actually, I'm out of town. I'm up in Raleigh right now, but I texted my wife, and she said it's still kind of the same. I mean, it's thawed some, but the nights have just still been kind of freezing, so anything that's melting, you know, is obviously turning to ice.
Sure.
So it's still been a little dicey, but, you know, people are, you know, surprisingly, people are getting back out to fishing, like, right to it. I think they had cabin fever.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. You up at the Black Rock show up there in Raleigh?
I am, yep, up at Big Rock.
Big Rock. buying new stuff.
We're up here buying stuff. Yeah, we got to buy new stuff for 2018. So that's what we're up here doing.
Very good. Very good. Hey, did you know they actually closed the speckled trout fishery up in North Carolina this week?
I did see that all the way to June, I believe, right?
Yeah, all the way to June. Is the water in Charleston that cold? Are we going to have a fish kill in Charleston, you reckon?
I think there's going to be some type of degree of kill, but to what extent? You know, I think the DNR released something the other day that it was still kind of early to tell. I mean, a few of my friends that either work at a marina or actually went, a buddy of mine went fishing Friday morning, and he said he had seen some trout floating and a couple black drum floating. So I think there's going to be some type of kill, but to what degree, I'm not sure.
I got you.
You know, I mean, with the temperatures rising this coming week, not much, but rising, it will hopefully help. But
yeah.
I hope. I mean, we had a pretty good trout bite up until then. So,
yeah. Looking back, 2011 was the last time we had a bad winter for trout?
Oh, goodness. That was probably like one of slow. And then we had one probably 20 years ago that it probably killed like 75% of the population. But, you know, of course, it's come back. Trout do respond pretty well to it. You know, if you have a couple good mild winters, I mean, they usually, you know, those following falls are usually great trout bites. So, we'll see.
We'll see. If you want to know why he's such, he knows all this, because he's a captain. I mean, if you want to go fishing in Charleston, you can get a hold of Able Minded Charters, Captain Mike Abel, and go out for a day. So I thought I'd give you that plug. Hope somebody takes you up on it.
I hope so.
Hey, look, y'all are doing it again. Shallow Water Expo is coming back to Charleston. Omar Shrine Temple, January 20th, 21st. New stuff, a lot of the same stuff. What you got going on?
Mix of both. I mean, we've got some, we do have some new vendors, you know, such we've got like Beretta coming in. So we'll have some guns, and we'll have new boats, you know, Drake Boat Works is more of a local guy. So he'll be there. But we have some new things. I mean, we're definitely trying to keep it fresh. You know, we've got, Kuda's a line that, you know, they have anything from braided line shears to gaff. So they kind of do it all on the tool side. But they'll be there. I mean, we have some of the same good old folks, and then we're going to have some new guys as well. So definitely just trying to keep it fresh and keep everybody interested. You know, so I'm really excited. I mean, we've had a lot of good feedback, a lot of people calling, asking about it, a lot of people from out of town. I mean, looking to make the 3 or 4 hour drive. So I'm very excited.
That's cool. Seminar schedule this year.
It's packed.
It's packed. My goodness, I don't know how y'all are fitting all this in. And some really good stuff, too.
We do. And, you know, I'm really excited with that. I mean, we've got a lot of pro staffers, and then we have, you know, some of your, you know, more celebrity fishermen like Mark Nichols and C.A. Richardson, you know, that have been in the industry for so long. But then, you know, at the same time, we've got anything from those big-name pros to, like, some of our local charter captains that have been fishing the area for 25 years. So, you know, you can always come and pick something up. I mean, you come listen to Mark talk or CA talk, you're definitely going to pick something up from them. But then you come listen to the guys that are local. I mean, that's where you can even pick up some more local knowledge. Not that those tips from the bigger name pros won't help. They certainly will. But, you know, we also just trying to offer both and just have a lot of demonstrations that we haven't offered in the past. You know, not just as a seminar, but I've got a friend of mine who actually used to work with us. He started Foundation Retrievers, and basically he's going to do a little dog run demonstration. Fathom's going to do, you know, a lot of guys on the off pool, when they're buying these lures, they need to re-skirt them every now and then, and so they're going to show how to do that. So just trying to offer a wide variety of things. Even have a lady coming to make balloons, tie up balloons. She said she can tie a fish balloon. I said, come on.
Kids will love that.
You're hired.
You're hired. Yeah, I mean, it's got some good. I mean, you got speckled trout fly demonstrations. There's Carol's balloons, Ty's fishy balloons, retriever demos, rod building. I mean.
Yep. So Steve, you know, Steve's been with us. Steve and both Seth from both locations, they've been with us for many, many years.
Yes.
And You know, it's something different. I mean, of course, you can always go buy your great, like, 10-inch Mongo and Dival rod.
Yeah.
But it's also nice every once in a while to build your own. You know, it's going to be one of a kind. But he's going to kind of show you how to do that as well.
There's one in here that gets me, cast net demonstration. I mean, if you ever quit throwing a cast net and you pick it up again, it's taco after taco after taco. What's the secret to throwing a cast net?
Well, that's where Steve's going to show you, but he, you know, a lot of it is just how you load the net.
Sure.
I mean, that's pretty much how you prepare it, basically, to throw it, which is not a difficult process. You know, there's several different ways to do it, but how you load that net is going to depend on how easy or hard it is to cast. And of course, it depends on the size of the net, but
sure.
He's going to be able to show you anything from a 3-foot to a 12-foot.
Yeah.
He's going to get you to ready to go catch bait this spring.
General admission is $5. Children's 12 and under is free. And you've got the CCA Ultimate Sportsman's Rifle going again this year.
Yes. So we're very excited about that. Last year was a huge hit. You know, we were able to give back to the CCA. CCA last year raised $8,500. Doing that, which is great to give back to such a great cause and organization. So we are doing it again. Yeah, so the guy last year, I ended up taking him fishing on his inshore trip. He won an inshore trip. He won an offshore trip. He won a bird hunt. He won rods and reels, surf carts. I mean, you name it. Like, one guy walked away with everything.
Everything.
And it was probably closer to $6,500 worth of stuff, and it only cost him $50.
That is not me. I would never even come close to getting that one. But you can buy those tickets at the CCA booth during the weekend, right?
Correct. I believe they're going to put them up on their website, but guaranteed you'll be able to buy them at the CCA booth at the event.
Very good.
Once you come in, it's $5 to get in, and everything else, you know, seminars, demonstrations, all that stuff is free.
January 20th, 21st, 2018, Omar Shrine Temple. That's right. If you come across the bridge, the first stoplight, take a right. It's right there on your right. Anything else you want to – anything else Hadrill's got going on this year you want to talk about right quick?
Well, we've got some expansion going on. We're really going to dig deep into our offshore market. You know, we're up here – actually, so like I said, Simon and I are up here buying all this tackle. And so we're really going to hit the offshore market very hard this year. And really go after what the guys really need and make sure we have it on hand. So we're very excited about that. So.
Did I hear
but
you?
There'll be some big news to come. I don't know if I can release it now, but we got some big news coming in the next few weeks. So you'll see.
All right. Hey, let me know. I'll be sure to grab somebody back on. You can tell the Upstate audience about it too.
Okay. Yeah, sounds great.
Did I hear you have Simon with you?
I do.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I guess you can tell him I said that too. He'll laugh.
Well, it's only a four hour ride up and a 4 hour ride down.
Very good.
And 12 hours overnight, but whatever.
Simon's a good guy. I just like to give him a hard time. Well,
everybody does. He is a great guy.
He is.
I enjoy being with him up here. Yeah.
Well, people, if you want something to do, the 20th, 21st, Mount Pleasant's the place to be. The Shallow Water Expo, Captain Mike Abel from Able Minded Charters. Thank you for calling in and being a part of Woods and Water again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Roger.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
See yes, sir. That's always a fun one to go to. You know, Z-Man will probably be there. Flood Tide Company will probably be there. The kids got me my new Flood Tide Company hat. It's beginning to be my favorite hat. It's oil skin, kind of a brownish, got a pointer head on it, and he's pointing off the side foot. Thanks, girls. I really like my new hat. Got to get that in there to keep the gifts coming. Hang on through the break. Back with, I don't know. We'll do something for the last segment. Welcome back to the final segment of Woods and Water South Carolina, the first show of 2018. We took care of the hunters the first segment, actually second segment. Gave somebody a fishing rod last segment. This one's for the not for the faint of heart, I guess is what you want to call this one. This is a pass for one person from Wildwater Zipline Canopy Tour. It expires 10/30/18, so it's a VIP pass for the Zipline Canopy Tour from Wildwater, and you can use it at one of four. Now, there's already somebody calling in. Yeah. So Pigeon River Canopy Tours, Nantahala. Pigeon River Canopy Tours, Nantahala Gorge Canopy Tours, Oconee River Basin Canopy Tours, and Chattooga River Canopy Tours. So you cannot be afraid of heights. And get this one. It also comes with, and this is pretty neat, it comes with a year's parking pass to Oconee County Parks Recreation Tourism. So cool. Let's see. Where do I want to go here? You know, we just finished up. Ah, shoot. There's so much stuff I want to get to. I might have to do a whole show on cell phones, technology, kids, and outdoors. Yeah, I'm going to save that. Okay. Eric Dinger, he is the founder of Powderhook, which is an app for your phone that it's a hunting app, has penned an open letter to hunters. And I think it's pretty good coming out of hunting season. It's cold. Maybe there's a bunch of hunters listening. You know, prick up your ears. This is something for all of us. Now Eric's out in, Nebraska, I believe is where Eric lives. He's been on the show before. But we've got articles. Are we all hunters and, are all hunters brothers and sisters? There's just all sorts of infighting and all, but this is a pretty good one. So an open letter to hunters, Eric Dinger. Fellow hunters, it's never been more clear that now's the time to act. The hunter numbers are in and are not good. Preliminary findings of U.S. Fish and Wildlife's National Survey of Fishing, Hunting, and Wildlife Associated Recreation indicate a 5-year fall off of over 2 million hunters. Since 1980, hunter numbers have fallen from nearly 18 million to the current count of 10.5 million. The preliminary findings are summarized well here. The future of conservation in this country relies heavily on our collective ability to reverse a devastating trend in hunter participation. Which reminds me, one of the things I'm going to this year, I'm trying to remember what month that's in. It's called the National R3. There you go. May 21st, 22nd, 23rd, Lincoln, Nebraska, the National R3 Symposium, Retention, Reactivation, and I forget the third R, but it's to deal with this fall off in the number of hunters. To be real, it's the first one they've ever had. I'm going to go to that one because I think it will be a good one for all of us to find out what we can do. You know, youth day to day. Did you take a youth anytime during the season? If you don't have a kid that's hunting age, there's somebody out there that wants to go. It doesn't have to be a kid, a neighbor. You know, I've kind of changed my outlook on, sharing venison. There are people out there killing a lot of deer sharing venison. That's great. But if you've got the access, you've got the means and the opportunity to harvest that many deer, then you need to be taking somebody with you. You know, introduce somebody else to it. Even if they don't take it up as something they enjoy doing, it will give them a better understanding of what hunters are all about. So anyway, accept reality. Lack of access is choking us. Isn't that the truth? Everybody you ask, what's the number one problem? Access. That's where public lands come in. Now we don't have a lot here, but there's a lot out there. If you're willing to walk a little bit, that's the other problem. Land sales and hunting leases are going to continue to eat up large tracts of land, and public land is going to get more pressure than your whole honey hole. When you do find a good spot on public land, there may be other hunters there fearing running into you as much as you feared running into them. Be gracious. You're probably a couple of kind words from being hunting buddies. And please, if you take nothing else, they're on our team. stop focusing so much on what makes us different. Number two, while we're accepting reality, let's accept this. The world has changed and will continue to do so. We are not going to rid the world of video games and cell phones, as much as I would like to. There's nothing we can do about 80-game soccer leagues for 10-year-olds. People are going to continue to move away from rural areas. Families are going to lose their farms to inheritance taxes. Maybe not so much now. We do have a part of a tax plan that might be good for that. Baby boomers are going to age out of their hunting days in the next 10 years. Anti-hunting and anti-gun organizations are only going to pick up steam during this presidency, just like gun and ammo sales picked up steam during the last presidency. Millennials are going to continue hunting for different reasons than generations past. As hunters, we need to learn to thrive inside of the constraints of these tectonic realities. Here's some examples of things each of us can do. Number one, hold a wild game supper. Invite families from the soccer team. Start a trap league rather than joining a golf league. Create hunting unlimited. Let's see. Oh, come on. I'd cut it off when it printed. Anyway, get involved in a non-GO. Ducks Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation, Hunters Forever, Pheasants Forever. Number three, no matter who you are, what you look like, or where you're from, if you care about the future of hunting, you have to figure out ways to bring a new person this hunting season. It doesn't need to be a kid. The person doesn't even need to shoot, but we need to invite them to come along. No one learned to love hunting through a social media post or a hunting show. You and I need to intentionally seek them out, invite them, bring them along, and teach them. If each of us brought one new person every 10 times we go, we could reverse this trend. If you're up for the challenge, consider taking the National Hunting and Fishing Day pledge. That was this past year. When you do so, you'll be entered to win all kinds of really cool stuff from BPS, Bass Pro Shops, NASCAR, and more. Four, rather than assuming people can feel what we feel from our grip and grin pic on Instagram, let's tell the real story. Take pics of the other things you saw. Share how it felt being out with your family. Talk about how delicious your venison jerky tastes. Share hunting stories even when you don't fill a tag. Jacob, team member of ours here at Powderhook, is an as avid hunter as you'll ever meet, recently shared an excellent example of a social post that tells the real story, and he's got a link to it here. Number five, remember what got you into hunting. It's the only thing that works nearly every time, mentoring. If you have the time to be matched long-term as a mentor, please visit. They've got a form here for you to fill out. From there, we'll introduce you to the closest mentoring program. So if you want to be a mentor, DNR has a mentoring program. Very easy to get involved. QDMA has one. National Wild Turkey Federation has one. There is no shortage of places that you can give back to. And even Powderhook has a digital app, an app that will let you be a digital mentor. It take you a minute or two a week. Now, if you're not a hunter and you enjoy being in the outdoors, you need hunters, because through excise tax, we pay for a lot of the upkeep, management, natural resources, state lands, the upkeep. We pay for a lot of that. Access to shooting ranges. You need hunters. Unless you're willing to step up to the plate and pay the money that we pay. And I don't have the breakdown. It's in the billions of dollars every year. And the states get that back. And they put it to use for gun ranges, for conservation projects, for research. Deer and coyote research. Our hunters are all brothers and sisters. There's no question there's a small segment of society hunters should stick together. There's enough outside pressure and criticism on hunting for hunters to be divided amongst ourselves. Hunters have a long history of sticking together, but that doesn't mean there isn't room for differences within our camp. But it does not mean that bad behavior should get a free pass. Traditions and customs and hunting are important. This includes local traditions and how people choose to hunt, be it with bow or gun, rifle or shotgun, recurve or compound, ground blind or tree stand. Still hunting, calling, and even dog hunting or over bait were illegal. In most instances, the majority of hunters understand and accept these differences. The real rub with sticking people together comes from poor choices and bad behavior. No one likes to be the cop policing the behavior of others. But one of the things that has made hunting a special time-honored tradition and socially acceptable is hunters policing ourselves. How we conduct ourselves individually reflects either positively or negatively on all hunters as a group and hunting in general. People make mistakes, which is why our society is forgiving. And we're keen on second chances as long as the governing body and the participants in any activity are seen proactively trying to correct mistakes. It may not be written anywhere on your hunting license, but you have a responsibility to ensure hunting is both safe and done in a respectful and ethical manner. Sometimes this means calling out those things you believe to be either unsafe or not in the spirit of the hunt. Claiming that anything goes as long as it is legal is not always the right call. Yes, hunters should be in the same boat and stick together, but if someone is shooting holes in that boat, sooner or later, all of us are going to get wet. That's from hunters at huntfairchase.com. Good website. Hunt Fair Chase. What is Fair Chase? It's a big argument on social media. I think that's where a lot of this comes from, this infighting. My goodness. Go on any hunting group on Facebook and it's just someone taking out someone else for what they did. And that's the article. You know? Keep shooting holes in the boat. We're all going to get wet. HuntFairChase.com. Good website. Just some good information. Read some of the stuff. Do you agree with it? What's your definition of fair chase? That's a good one. Look that one up. Then figure out where you fit into it. Wow. Next week, we're going to be talking to... Oh, we're going to be taking up feral pigs. We're going to talk to a researcher out of Fort Collins, Colorado about feral pigs. New research starting in Alabama and Texas on how to control them. Be interesting show. Thanks for tuning in. As always, make time to get out there. Take those back roads when you can. Don't forever forget that camera. See you back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Carolina in my mind.